We're talking about Wisconsin's changing climate. It is the title of the most comprehensive assessment to date of past and future climate change and its impacts in Wisconsin. We dig into the report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's turn to our winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio that's moving along. I'm here with Sheila Shigley. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Kate.
We're here to say WPR relies on listeners just like you. Your support is the largest piece of the funding pie for the WPR programs you enjoy and rely on. And if you haven't given yet, now is the time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I am happy to report that last hour we heard from 8 donors. Thank you to everyone who gave. Our goal this hour is to get 20 gifts.
20 gifts in the door. Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has a unique funding model. It is a two-way street. It creates a high-quality product. This is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It's really an amazing system, and you get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. This is a closed-loop system, if you will. Make your contribution for independent news, information, music right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to all, including yourself, and because you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year or two or more, it's time to put something back in.
That's right. Make a donation for yourself and also for the community. The amount is up to you. The important thing is that you participate. So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I've been a member since 1978, as far as I can remember, when I graduated college and I realized I better start paying everything back for which I owe, and more than just my parents. There's a whole lot of things for which I think I needed to pay. I'm a member, and I dare you to find me any reason not to contribute. I'll bet you can't find a reason. I think it's a lot more important to find a reason to contribute.
Ah, turning the question around. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Listener support. It is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you love, and it's why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories. It supports the programs, these conversations that keep you connected to Wisconsin, to the world. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've just gotten out of the gate this morning in this hour of The Morning Show. We've heard from one caller already. Thank you so much. We'd like to hear from 19 more of you before the hour is up, and then we will meet our goal. WPR is listener-powered, and that is why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
How about show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for the new WPR mug? It's got the sun, pine trees, your go-to radio station front and center with the logo. You'll show off your WPR support with every sip. And it is yours when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Now to a new 100-page report initiated by the governor through an executive order in late 2019 to collect and update scientific data on the rate of climate change in Wisconsin and its impact on our environment. So here's one detail from the hundreds of scientists who contributed to this report. They said the decade from 2010 to 2019 was the wettest in Wisconsin since records began around the turn of the 20th century. With that in mind, what do you wonder about how climate change is affecting our state? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Steve Vavras is co-director of the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts, or WICI is the acronym, senior scientist at the Nelson Institute Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Pleasure to be here this morning.
Good morning. I'd imagine you need to wear multiple hats to do a report like this. You need to be that historian. You need to immerse yourself in the data and let the data talk to you. And then you really have to have that scientific grounding to explain what the history and data are saying. What was it like to put this report together after a decade since the last one?
It was a big effort, and it was a big team effort. We had 14 working groups putting it together, more than 200 scientists and decision makers, and over 50 organizations that contributed. So this was as close as we can come to a consensus assessment of climate change in Wisconsin.
Wow. And so everyone, I would imagine, had their own areas of expertise and what they were trying to provide. How did you coordinate all of that?
That was a challenge. We have good working relationships among our volunteer members, and we have a coordination team of about a half a dozen of us who are working operational means day to day to kind of put this together. We had a wonderful science writer, Dia Larson Converse, and really a team effort to make this come together.
So we know our climate is changing, that our Wisconsin is getting warmer, it's getting wetter. But what does that really mean? What have you seen over the decade?
Well, one of the expressions of that warmer and wetter climate has been an increase in a lot of extreme events. And I don't need to let people know, I'm sure they saw it firsthand, especially the flooding that we experienced in Wisconsin, especially the last decade, but really the past couple of decades. And all parts of the state were affected. We had over 20 of the so-called 100-year rainfall events, meaning they should only occur statistically once every century. And in fact, more than 20 occurred in different parts of the state. And when we get those are the ones that cause a disproportionate amount of damage.
How is climate change affecting different parts of the state? Because those rain events, as you say, are not isolated in one area. What do you look when you go around the state? What do you see?
Yeah, well, The trend in the central and southern part of Wisconsin was wetter in virtually every season. Northern Wisconsin, not so much wetter in the summer, but they too experienced a lot of heavy rainfalls. The warmer trend has been true everywhere. It's been significant in all parts of the state and in every season. So generally precipitation variations are spottier than temperature. And so it's not unexpected that we'd have some spatial differences in the precipitation patterns. But this trend of warmer and wetter has held over the last several decades, and we fully expect it to continue in the future.
What did you see for our residents who live along the Great Lakes? There's a statistic out there that by 2100 in the U.S. alone, an estimated 2.4 million homes will be underwater. What do you see for our coastal residents?
Well, fortunately, Wisconsin doesn't have to worry directly about sea level rise. That's more of an issue for the East Coast and the Gulf Coast of the U.S. But what we do need to be concerned about, as we've seen in the last decade, are the large fluctuations in lake water levels. Lake Michigan went from a record low in 2013 to a record high in 2020. That's remarkable within one decade. And we expect that these kinds of bigger fluctuations are something that will probably continue in the future.
You reached out to people, interviewed community members around the state to get a sense of how climate change is affecting people. Can you tell us about these interviews and why you would make sure that this was part of the reporting?
This was an intentional decision we made as a change from the 2011 report because we wanted to give climate change a human face. We didn't want it to just be a lot of facts and figures, graphs and numbers. Those are important, but they don't really hit home. And we wanted to show that climate change really is affecting Wisconsin residents and to learn from them in what ways is the climate change is most affecting them. And what we heard were lots of interesting stories, important stories, many of them about flooding and the impact that it had on them, particularly those in the Driftless area, which was hit especially hard. But across the board, people of different ages, people of different backgrounds, giving their perspectives, I think contributed a great deal to the report.
Nelson Institute senior scientist Steve Avras with us explaining the findings in the new report from the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts that will help guide solutions to the climate crisis here. What worries you most about rising water levels on the Great Lakes, on the lake you live on? What about extreme rainstorms or even the polar vortex and connecting the dots to climate change? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Steve Vavras here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing what our warming climate means for life here in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This new report is an update on the report from 2011. First, though, let's discuss our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm with Sheila Shigley, and we're here to say that you count on the Ideas Network for these fascinating discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
40 minutes left this hour, and we are looking for 14 more people to join in. Thank you so much if you've already given.
Great forward progress there. If you haven't given, the time is now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
The Ideas Network keeps you informed and entertained every single day. You get value from this program and also from People's Pharmacy, Central Time, you name it. So many others that you've come to rely on.
Like Simply Folk. Come on, Sheila. WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the mix of shows you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it is so easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio. The easiest way, in fact, is to become a sustainer. You'll make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or a credit or debit card.
And some people give $10 a month. Maybe make many give $15, $20. Pick the amount that works for you. Become a sustainer now. So easy to set up. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and then sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs you value.
WPR gets you through the day, kind of like a cup of coffee. This member drive asks for the new WPR mug when you give $10 a month. Your WPR pride will be on display with every sip. This white ceramic mug features a navy design that showcases two Wisconsin favorites, nature and WPR. Ask for yours when you give $10 a month. Here's how.
go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Your support during this winter member drive makes the WPR program Zero Lion possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make the decision to support WPR financially.
Yes, member contributions, they power the programs you rely on. So your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It supports your future listening.
When 14 more people support WPR programs in the next 40 minutes or so, we will meet this hourly goal. WPR is listener-powered, and that is why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Show off your WPR support with every sip from your 2022 WPR mug. I shall put tea in it. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can put so many things in it. Chai, matcha, you name it. It's a beautiful mug. You can check it out when you go to the website. You can also become a sustainer at the website. If you're not one, become one right now. It's super easy to set up. You'll be making ongoing payments from your bank account or credit card. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tyler in Fitchburg says, I appreciate WPR's objectivity. I cannot even say that this morning. Goodness. And Mary in Teresa says, I support WPR's pertinent and enjoyable programming. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org. And thank you for your support. Now to the mounting evidence of climate change over the decades in Wisconsin and what we can do to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in our state. The authors of a new report say climate change affects nearly all aspects of our society, and as a result, the report cannot and does not cover the full range of important issues that Wisconsin will face. But we should think about the many opportunities to learn more and to ask questions. What is yours on climate change? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for conversation. Steve Vavris is Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts, or WICI co-director, senior scientist at the Nelson Institute, stays with us. So, Steve, going further into this report, you found that climate change is leading to warmer winters and having an effect on our state's wildlife. What did you learn there?
Well, in various aspects. So one clear example you brought up, winter, is up in the northern part of the state, the snowshoe hare is having difficulty with climate change. And the reason is that it's evolved to have a white coat during the winter, which is a great camouflage strategy if the background is a white snowpack. If we lose that white snow cover due to climate change, that snowshoe hare is no longer protected. Another example is brook trout, which rely on cold water streams. If those streams warm up, that puts them at danger. Walleye populations have dropped due to warmer lakes. So there's various ways in which a warmer and wetter climate has impacted wildlife.
It really infiltrates the whole ecosystem. Also, what about logging and forest products? What do you see there?
Yeah, so this is one that may not come to mind to everyone, but one of the things that we learned in the report was from the logging industry saying that these warmer winters have led to fewer days in which they can run their trucks because they rely on frozen ground. And as we get soggier soils in the winter, less reliable frozen solid ground, that means that there's fewer days for them to operate, and therefore it costs them.
Connect the dots for us here. You know, we talked with the Wisconsin Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy recently, the director, Maria Redmond, the office working on our state's first clean energy plan. How might this report we're talking about inform our state's forthcoming clean energy plan?
Yeah, definitely affects it. It's we kind of dovetail our efforts. The clean energy plan is mostly about what we call mitigation of climate change, which means trying to nip the problem in the bud.
Uh-huh.
So that means reducing the source of climate change, meaning greenhouse gas emissions, either fewer carbon emissions into the air or drawing down carbon heat trapping gases from the atmosphere. WICCI is dealing with mitigation, but we also deal even more so with what we call adaptation to climate change. That is the impacts of climate change on the ground. So regardless of the rate of climate change, we know that climate change is happening here and now, and it'll continue in the future, even if we do curb emissions. And so we really need to attack the problem on both fronts. WICCI's bread and butter has always been adaptation. Clean Energy Sustainability Office is much more about the mitigation part of it.
What might be an example of adaptation? Can you take us into that?
Sure. So one example of adaptation would be things like changing our infrastructure to accommodate more heat waves and floods. So, for example, one thing we could do is provide more green space in urban areas. Tree canopy acts as a natural air conditioner during heat waves, causes cooling, the shading effects. It also provides erosion control because it intercepts some of the rainfall. It also has the benefit of mitigation because it draws down carbon and it contributes overall to improved quality of life. So that's an example of an adaptation measure we could do that also happens to have a mitigation component. Other things we can do, things like protecting or expanding wetland restoration. Wetlands act as sponges during heavy rainfall events. And so many of these things have co-benefits, and this is one of the things we emphasized in the report, is that the effect of implementing them can actually be a net gain for society.
Farmers as well on their farms, you've said in the past, could use more cover crops to contain that erosion.
Right. So this is another area of great potential. So changing some farm management strategies that will benefit farmers and their bottom line, as well as reduce climate change and help with impact. So, for instance, cover crops are really good. They help to draw down carbon. They also help to reduce erosion when we have rainfall and melting snow in the winter, for example. No-till farming is something that can increase the organic matter of soils, which is really good for soil health. And so these are a couple of different strategies that could be implemented as a way to address climate change.
Exploring ways to adapt and mitigate the effects of climate change with Nelson Institute senior scientist Steve Vavras. We will pick this up, more conversation ahead, after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're discussing what Wisconsin can do to adapt to a wetter and warmer future with this new report detailing climate change in our state. Now let's take a moment to discuss our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So step up, be counted as a supporter, as a sustainer with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That is how you make the magic happen. We have 25 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 13 more people to join in. When you give, you fund the morning show and all the other WPR programs you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you have to understand, here on our team, we devour scientific reports. We love the science and what scientists have to say, and really digging into what the researchers have spent really their whole careers putting together, and then making connection with your questions and putting these experts to you. This is where it all comes together. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
All of this wonderful programming is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888 202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Perhaps giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. And when you think about it, a dollar a day is a really great value. It's less than that cup of coffee in your hand or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
That is a fantastic value. A dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. And you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account, or you can charge it to your credit or debit card. So make your gift right now in an amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. So whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much, and consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for your extra support for the programs you enjoy every day.
Looking for 12 more pledges this hour. I know we can do this. It's one pledge at a time. WPR is listener powered, and it's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
You can show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for the new WPR mug. It has a sun and pine trees. It's got a kind of retro design. You can express your love for your go-to radio station and show off your WPR support with every single sip. It's yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month. Inch it up. Come on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now to climate change that is already changing our state and will continue to do so in the coming decades unless we come up with solutions and then we act on those solutions. New report from WICI, the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts, gives us a better grasp of where we are, what has changed since the last report in 2011. The report found that since 1950, statewide temperatures have warmed by 3 degrees Fahrenheit. What questions do you have about the warming and what it stems from? What do you want to ask a senior scientist and expert on global warming? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Conversation is at 800-642-1234. The Nelson Institute's Steve Vavras is with us. Let's bring on a caller. Now, Keith is joining us from Kewaunee. Hi, Keith.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment on regenerative agriculture practices a little bit. Up here now in Kewaunee County, this was 90% forest before when the country was settled and today it's about 80% agriculture land. So a lot of the carbon that was stored in the ground with those forests is now in the atmosphere. And we've done that not only here in Wisconsin, but across the United States. When you think about the prairies that were rich grasslands that had, you know, I don't know how many billion tons of carbon stored in the soil, that's now all up in the atmosphere. And we've discovered that, you know, our industrial ag farming practices aren't necessarily the best for the soil and certainly not for the atmosphere. And regenerative agriculture practices, if you have heard of Gabe Brown up in North Dakota, who wrote a book, Dirt to Soil. He talks about soil being the, you know, that's the foundation, the fundamental thing that we have to look at to grow healthy plants so we get healthy food for people and animals. And well, the best way to...
I was just going to jump in here, and I want to bring in Steve on Steve's thoughts on regenerative ag practices. Where does that fit in, Steve?
Yeah, thanks, Keith. This is a great point. Regenerative agriculture has tremendous potential, I believe. And, you know, personally, this is something I was pretty unaware of until a couple of years ago. I didn't really understand or realize the scope of regenerative agriculture. But this is one of those win-win strategies that we tout in the Wiki report. And it's a way to help the soils, it's a way to help farmers, and it's a way to help the climate. And incidentally, to listeners who want to learn more about regenerative agriculture, there's a wonderful documentary film called Kiss the Ground. Woody Harrelson is the narrator. And I watched it last year, and it's a very powerful description of how this practice can help not only with improved soil conditions, but also how it can address climate change.
Keith, you're a small alpaca farmer. Is that right?
Yeah, we're quite small. I'm on an old farm. We just have 10 acres, but we've always done things organically. The last few years, heard about regenerative agriculture, and it just fits in that the best way to get healthy plants is to feed the soil biology. And there are so many studies out there that show that for agriculture, for profitability, you can actually make more money with regenerative agriculture than you do with conventional tillage practices where you're incorporating herbicides and chemical fertilizers and really not doing good things for the soil biology, which is the foundation of healthy plants and keeping carbon in the soil.
Keith, thank you for bringing this point to the conversation. Appreciate it. Steve, I want to just take a pause here. How does this work from this report fold into the governor's task force on climate change? Does the task force now have enough information to really help Wisconsin with adaptation?
Well, the governor's task force on climate change made its recommendations about a year ago to the governor, and Wiki contributed to that. We were tasked by the executive order from Governor Evers to provide scientific guidance for the governor's task force, and we did that. And what we contributed was kind of the foundation for this assessment report that just came out this month. So a lot of the same strategies, recommendations, issues that we raised as scientific guidance to help them, meaning the task force, we then expanded into this bigger 200-page assessment report that just came out.
I want to move off farms for a moment and move into more urban areas with building codes. And building codes has come up in conversation recently, you know, on our program here. And we had heard from Milwaukee's sustainability director who said updating building codes are really an important factor in addressing climate change. What are your thoughts there?
There's a lot of things that can be done in urban areas to address climate change and its impact. So building codes, one of the things that came to light in this report is building materials. It turns out that the production of concrete and steel account for a quarter of global carbon emissions. It's tremendous. And so anything we can do to make the manufacture of concrete and steel and other building materials more efficient could go a long way toward helping with the problem of climate change. There's also a lot that can be done in terms of greening cities. As I mentioned before, trees are a natural air conditioner, parks in the same way. And so there's various things that can be done in planning cities, including things like making them more walkable and bikeable. Here too, we can have a win-win with health and climate. Making things more walkable and bikeable means that more trips can be done by foot or by bike, and that improves our health while at the same time reducing carbon emissions from having so many frequent short car trips.
Steve Vabris with us, senior scientist at the Nelson Institute, and taking us through the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts report. You can join in with your questions about the report, 800-642-1234. Scott is joining us now from Iron River. Hi, Scott. What is on your mind?
And thank you for all your hard work. And but my question is, and I don't hear it talked about very often, is the politics of climate change. You know, when we have these discussions and how all too many people, you know, really believe what you're talking about is just liberal rhetoric with socialistic intentions and all this. And it must be very frustrating dealing with that because it's a significant number of people who believe that. And so if there's anything, you know, any thoughts on that you could give me and how to respond to people that truly believe this is all, like our former president said, a hoax. So thank you very much again, and I'll listen to the answer.
Appreciate the question. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And it's an unfortunate reality that climate change has become a politically charged topic. It was less so about 20, 25 years ago. And unfortunately, it's diverged over time, like a lot of things in the country politically. I try to find places where there's common ground and can be support among Democrats and Republicans. I think there's various areas on climate change where that can happen. One of them is energy efficiency. Nobody wants to spend more on energy than we have to. And a lot of these green technology solutions are beneficial for the bottom line. They're beneficial for businesses, beneficial for consumers, and they help the climate. So that's something that we can all rally behind. So I think that's a big one. It depends on the particular topic, particular issue, but there are certain things that we all care about. We all care about human health. We all care about bottom line economic concerns, pocketbook issues, and the like. And along just one other example is with food waste. It turns out that food waste is a tremendous contributor to climate change. If food waste were its own country, it would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter in the world.
Wow.
Nobody wants to waste food for a variety of reasons. And so this is another area where we can find common ground. So how we attack climate change, what the policies should be, we do see some differences of opinion between liberals and conservatives and people in the middle. But I think there are places where we definitely can find common ground.
This crisis, of course, is bigger than one individual's actions, one community's actions. But when you get the question, how can someone reduce their impact on the climate, what do you say?
Well, more and more I say food waste because that's such a surprisingly large one. So there's a great book called Project Drawdown. Mm-hmm. I think the book was called Drawdown, but it was part of an effort called Project Drawdown, in which a whole bunch of analysts, scientists, policymakers got together and tried to figure out, tried to prioritize in order what are the most effective ways to reduce carbon emissions. And food waste was way at the top, at number three on the list, improved solar energy, more wind turbines, wind energy, things of that nature. But it turned out that the number one was refrigerants, because the cooling substance in refrigerants, like air conditioners and refrigerators, when that escapes into the atmosphere, that is a super powerful greenhouse gas, much more powerful than carbon dioxide. And so there was an international agreement, the so-called Kigali Agreement, that was established among well over 100 countries to try to reduce the amount of refrigerant emissions that get into the atmosphere. And so this is something that on a very large scale, scale that can be done at the international level that can have surprisingly big benefits.
Steve, can Wisconsin do it? Can it stop this continued warming trend? Can it contain greenhouse gas emissions? What do you see ahead for our state?
Well, I think it helps not to think of it in binary terms. Either we're going to stop climate change or we won't, because there's enough climate change happening already. There's enough additional climate change in the pipeline. We can't eliminate it. But what we can do is think about it kind of like a runaway train. You can't stop it immediately. First, you have to slow it down, and then you bring it to a stop, and then you move it backwards. And so anything we can do to slow down that train is beneficial for us, and anything we can do to slow the rate of climate change, even if we get the same total amount of climate change eventually, would be helpful as well. So you really do need to think about this in terms of a spectrum and not an either or.
Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Steve Vavras, senior scientist at the Nelson Institute Center for Climatic Research, co-director of the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. We have a link to their report. It's called Wisconsin's Changing Climate, and it's at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is our winter membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with Sheila Shigley. You rely on the Ideas Network for these informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like The Morning Show going strong.
And that is because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That is why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got about 6 minutes left to go here. We're looking for 10 more people to join in. We can do this. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, climate change, forefront on our minds, very much so. A discussion that is forefront on our show, that we round all the scientists up, the experts up, to really dig into these issues, the reports, the latest findings, and then open it up and hear your perspective, your questions. These are the kinds of discussions you count on each day from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
WPR pairs well with a morning cup of coffee or tea or afternoon tea, if you like. And this member drive, you can enjoy your favorite hot beverage and show off your support for your favorite public radio station. So you can ask for the new 2022 WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Barbara, me too. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with Sheila Shigley. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and it's why your support in this winter member drive is so key. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And Kate, the calls are coming in. We only need to hear from eight more people people in the next few minutes. Thank you. Thank you. Be one of those eight. Make your gift right now to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
WPR programs, they are listener powered. And it means that your donation right now absolutely makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there's a pretty good chance that WPR is a preset in your home or car radio, maybe on both of those. You listen to WPR a lot. Help pay for the station you enjoy so much and become a member today.
That's right. Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We need eight more people to make our goal. You can also show off your WPR support with every sip out of your 2022 mug. Ask for yours with a gift of $10 a month or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to Lori in De Pere. Says, I listen to the morning show almost every day, either at home or in the car. Lori, we're with you. Thank you so much. Go to WPR.org and join us. And thank you for your support.